Did you know that right now,
anyone in Wisconsin can receive an at-home COVID-19 test through the State Department of Health Services? It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And I'd like to hear from you this morning if you've already taken advantage of this at-home test. How is the whole experience for you? And how are you? 1-800-642-1234 is a number to our show. You can always email us ideas at WPR.org. And the epidemiologists are unanimous about containing this pandemic through testing and tracing until vaccinations can become the norm, which is why our guest this morning is Tracy DeSalvo. She's the surveillance lead of the COVID-19 response team and acting director of the Bureau of Communicable Diseases. Tracy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
How can I get my hand on this at-home COVID-19 test?
The great news about this at-home test is that you can actually go online and order one for yourself. A couple ways to do that. You can go directly to the company's webpage, or you can go through our website, dhs.wisconsin.gov. And if you click on COVID-19 and then getting tested, we have all the information there for you to order that test yourself.
What's the charge, Tracy?
There's no charge for this. The test is free for everyone. We're going to submit that test to your insurance first. And if your health insurance doesn't cover the cost of the test, then the state of Wisconsin is going to pay for the cost of that testing.
Okay. And what's included in these at-home testing kits? When you go to your website from the Department of Health Services and you click on the COVID link and you go to request the COVID testing kit, what arrives in the mail?
Sure. So you're going to get a collection kit that has everything you need to do that specimen collection. And it's a really easy collection process. You actually will do a Zoom call with a provider through Vault, which is the testing company. And you're going to collect some saliva. They need to collect about a tablespoon of your saliva to do that test. And you drop it into a UPS Dropbox. They have to be returned using UPS. And then those results come back to you by email.
So there is, when you order this test, there is some responsibility for, there is a process you will have to go through. And it sounds like telehealth would be part of it, or a virtual Zoom call is a part of it, to help you make sure that the sample is collected correctly. And what will that mean with a tablespoon of saliva? And how do we collect these samples correctly? What's our responsibility once we get these kits, Tracy?
Sure. So, you're going to do a telemedicine visit, essentially, with a provider from Vault, and they're actually going to walk you through the process. So they'll have a collection tube that you're going to put your saliva in, and they will walk you through that process directly. So it's really, really very simple, and we want to make this as easy for people as possible and really provide the opportunity to have that at-home testing available.
What would I need to do in order to prepare for taking this test, if anything?
The kit will come with specific instructions, and it may include things like don't eat or drink for a set amount of time before collecting that saliva specimen, but it's really going to be a pretty straightforward collection process.
Tracy DeSalvo, our guest, she's the surveillance lead of the COVID-19 response team at the Wisconsin Department of Health. And Tracy, then, following this sample after it's taken, it has to be dropped off, at a UPS location the same day it's collected. And then where does it go? Where are these results being processed?
Yep, it's going to go to a lab through Vault Health, and they're going to do the specimen testing and get you your results back via email. And the great news about this is it's a really efficient process. It takes about 2 days from when you collect that specimen to getting the results. So it's going to be really quick. The turnaround time in the lab is only about a half day. So we have a great turnaround to get those results quickly to residents of Wisconsin.
I think the first stories I saw of this at-home free testing kit made available through the state of Wisconsin was right before Christmas at the end of last year. How have these tests been so far? Are we getting enough out to the people? Have we gotten the word out to date? Do enough people know about them?
Well, we're certainly glad to be getting the word out and to have more people know that this is available as one of the testing options. This is really a nice supplement to the other testing options that are available in Wisconsin, including getting tested through your provider or going to one of our community testing sites. And to date, we've had more than 12,000 people who've ordered kits, and we've had almost 1,600 of those kits returned. And, you know, the nice thing about these kits, and one of the things that we know is happening, is people are ordering a kit and sort of having it on hand for when they're ready. It's a tool in your medicine cabinet so that if you do become symptomatic or have an exposure to COVID, you have a test ready to go.
Okay, so when you order the test, you don't have to take that test right away. You can order that test through the Department of Homeland, Department of Health in Wisconsin, and then you could keep that in the event that you feel you may have been exposed and then have an opportunity for you to test without having to leave your own home.
Yep, that's correct. So having that test on hand ahead of time is one option. Of course, if you're symptomatic, it's also one of the options to go ahead and order that test. It comes in just a couple business days, and you can have that specimen collected and returned to you pretty quickly as well if you're already symptomatic.
Tracy, if you do take that test and you are worried about exposure and then you are waiting for the results, what's your best practices? What should I do in the meantime? I took the test because I was uncertain, and now I'm waiting for the results. What am I doing now?
Yeah, we really want to encourage anyone who has symptoms of COVID-19, first of all, to get a test. That's the first step, right? And while you're waiting for the results of those tests, to please stay home, isolate yourself from household members as well as much as possible. You really want to do everything you can to reduce the possibility that you might transmit COVID to others in the event that you are positive.
And as I started out, obviously, until vaccinations can become the norm, Tracy DeSalvo, we are counting on testing and tracing to try to contain this global pandemic. How have we done in testing and tracing? And whether we're talking locally, nationally, globally, how are we doing in containing this pandemic?
Well, we're certainly glad to see that the numbers have come down from the peak of where they were in the fall. And, you know, there's a lot of testing options available to Wisconsin residents. I think if you're someone in Wisconsin who has symptoms of COVID-19 or exposure, there's a lot of testing options available to you. You can certainly, as I said, go to your provider. You can go to one of our testing sites, our community testing sites, and we're glad to have these at-home testing options available as well. And we have a great public health system in Wisconsin with the State Department of Health Services and our local health department partners who are working really hard to do those case investigations and contact tracing investigations. And I'll put in a little plug that we also have an exposure notification app that's available now for Wisconsin residents, both on Apple and Android platforms. And you can activate that on your phone, and it can help to identify if you may have been exposed to someone who is a known case of COVID-19.
So we do have an app now that is available. I'd be curious to know more about this, Tracy, but let's take a moment here and with our guest, Tracy DeSalvo, who's the surveillance lead of the COVID-19 response team at the Wisconsin Department of Health. And I'd be interested in hearing from you this morning if you've ordered an at-home COVID-19 test and what the process was like for you, how long it took to get the results back, and how you're doing today. Most importantly, 1-800-642-1234. We'll continue our conversation with Tracy DeSalvo and take a look at the app that is now available, the free at-home testing kit that is now available for you this morning. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Our CDC found that the University of Wisconsin's rapid COVID-19 test missed almost 60% of the positive cases from people who weren't showing any symptoms. It's also known as an antigen test. These rapid tests also missed almost 20% of positive cases from people already showing symptoms. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and I've only taken the PCR test so far through the UW-Madison. That's the one with a cotton swab that goes up both nostrils. And those results have been proven to be more reliable. But what about the reliability of saliva via UPS and the opportunity for you to get a free at-home COVID testing kit right now? And you can hold on to that for when you need it. And if you've had this experience already of COVID testing and waiting for the results, share them. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. You can always email us, ideas@WPR.org. And our guest is Tracy DeSalvo. She's the surveillance lead of the COVID-19 response team at the Wisconsin Department of Health. And Tracy, as we look at, and we'll get to the app in a moment that's available to us now, but as we look at the free at-home COVID-19 testing kits, what we're looking at here is these COVID testing kits and test results. The rapid testing results seem to be less responsive. The PCR tests seem to be more responsive. What is this at-home saliva test kit? What kind of test is this for COVID?
Yep, this is also a PCR test, Lee. So okay. This is looking for that genetic material of the COVID virus.
So this would be the more reliable of the tests that are now available for COVID-19 tests.
Yep, PCR is generally considered the gold standard, although the antigen tests are good tests as well if used correctly.
In certain circumstances, as it's been explained to me, Tracy?
Yep, that's correct. Certainly for people who are symptomatic or who have a known exposure, they're very good tests, and there are good uses for them as well, sort of in population level screening. But as I mentioned, this at-home saliva test is a PCR test. So the main difference is that you're using a saliva sample rather than a nasal swab.
Thank you for that. And you can get your free at-home test right now from the Department of Health Services website, dhs.wisconsin.gov, or from the company that they are partnering with, Vault. And Tracy, as I go to the website, I do see a box there that says, please, if you had to enter your credit card in and your that you will not be charged at the end of this. And just as an effort to try to reduce barriers from people approaching getting these at-home free testing kits, explanation there you gave before, but again, if you have to put your credit card in, ultimately there will be no charge. If your health insurance company doesn't cover it, the state of Wisconsin will. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
So there will be no test or cost, even if you have to put in your credit card at some point as it goes. Now, onto this Wisconsin Exposure Notification app, Tracy. How did this get developed? How does it work?
Sure. So this is a great technology that was developed by Apple and Google, and it actually uses Bluetooth on your phone. So it's completely anonymous. Your phone, if you have the app downloaded or on Apple, you just have to turn it on in settings. If you have it activated on your phone and you have Bluetooth turned on, your phone actually will exchange anonymous Bluetooth keys with other phones when you're in close proximity. So it's when a phone is close to another phone. It doesn't exchange any information other than an anonymous key. And then if someone ends up being a case of COVID-19, they will get a code sent to them via text that they can enter into the exposure notification platform. And it will sort of scan their phone and identify keys of people who may have been exposed, right? They were within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. And it will then notify those people anonymously that they have an exposure to someone. But no information exchanged about the person or who that might be. So it's completely anonymous. And we aren't tracking any of that data. Apple and Google don't track any of the data. It's just those anonymous Bluetooth keys that are stored on your phone.
Isn't this something that happens in the background of our phones, generally speaking, anyway? Aren't apps geocaching us wherever our phones go if we have our geolocation set or our GPS system turned on?
And I don't know a whole lot about that, but certainly, yeah, your phones can be doing that. But this is a little bit different because it actually doesn't use GPS.
Okay.
It's really only using those anonymous Bluetooth tokens. So all it's looking for is a phone that's in proximity. So their Bluetooth are sort of connecting to each other. It's not collecting any GPS data. So there's no information about where you were when the exposure occurred. It's really just you were within range. Your phone was within range of another phone. And so you have a contact.
Tracy, I would imagine that the effectiveness of that of this app, the Wisconsin Exposure Notification app, would be more dependent on how many people would be willing to employ it. That the more people that use it, the more effective it could be?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have more than 1 million people who have registered and are using the app now. And we want to encourage, you know, anyone who is willing to please go ahead and turn that on your phone. Again, it's totally anonymous. And the more people we have, the more people have knowledge about possible exposures that they're having when they're out in the community.
Tracy DeSalvo, our guest, surveillance lead of the state's COVID-19 response team at our Department of Health Services. Let's go to Michael in Bear Valley. Michael, good morning. You're on the Ideas Network.
Hello. I took the test and came back negative. It was all went very smoothly. The one thing that I will mention about it, and then I have a question about how the test is going to be used, is you need to screw down the top after you deposit your saliva into the tube. And it really took quite a bit of strength, and I was concerned about elderly people being able to turn that thing down to activate the liquid on the top of the tube, which goes down into the saliva and fixes it in some way so that they can test the DNA. But other than that, I have a question about how the test is going to be used. The Department of Health Services has a daily tally of new cases. Do these tests get factored into it? And then my second question is, can we have reorder it so that we have it around to take another test? My feeling is the more people that are tested on a bi-weekly basis, the better chance we'll have of stopping outbreaks.
Michael, thank you. First, about the turning of the, and I wasn't entirely clear, Tracy, but it sounds like there could be some strength issues for those who are with this test.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that. So thanks, Michael, for sharing that feedback with us. And certainly, you know, I hope that as you are talking with the provider, they're able to talk you through that and help people to make sure that they're getting those tubes sealed tightly so that the test can be good and reliable.
And are those tests factored into the daily tally of cases and testing?
Yeah, because this is a PCR test, people who test positive would be considered a confirmed case of COVID-19. So they are included in that daily tally on the DHS website.
And Tracy, since Michael has taken this at-home test before and would like to have it available for him again, is that a possibility?
Yep, absolutely. You know, similar to community testing sites, you know, we want to make sure people have access to tests when they need them. So if you're symptomatic or if you have a known exposure, that's a great reason to be using these tests. And certainly having done one in the past would not be a reason why you couldn't be tested again in the future.
Let's go to John this morning. John, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to share an experience we had with them. My family and I went to the test kind of as a group, and I really liked the convenience of being able to order it ahead, just kind of have it on hand, because we had gone on a little trip over the holidays, and although we did our best to exposure and try to wear masks and social distance, we knew there was some risk of exposure, so we actually ordered the test while we were out of state on vacation. They were waiting for us when we got home, and then we just kind of gave ourselves a day or two to try to find the right timing, and then actually took the test. It just it was an extra layer of I don't know, security or confidence that you know, that we'd done all the right things when we were gone. And yeah, it was just really convenient that we were able to order. We did it at night. We took the test. It was probably 8-9 o'clock at night, and not having to maybe drive to a testing site or fall into their predetermined schedule.
John, I appreciate the story of the whole family getting the at-home free testing kit through the Department of Health Services. And Tracy DeSalvo, as we talk about what we're supposed to be doing and how we should implement best practices, I would imagine it still includes social distancing, it still includes masks, and now there are the opportunities to keep an at-home test kit available for you at home in the event that you would need it. And I could only imagine what that might mean for folks' mental health, for their own levels of anxiety. And now with the Wisconsin Exposure Notification app, there are a couple tools at our disposal that we could employ. And again, you hear that, well, it's nothing's a silver bullet in this pandemic, but everything helps. Well, a lot of these things help a little bit. Is that accurate? Or what's our best tact going forward?
I think you're absolutely right, Lee. And I really think, you know, we want to continue to emphasize the things we've been saying all along. Stay home as much as possible, limit your interactions with others, make sure you're wearing those masks when you're out in public, make sure you're maintaining physical distance as much as possible. And of course, wash your hands. Proper hand washing is also a really important way to prevent the spread of COVID-19. But we're glad to be able to add these additional tools to our toolbox to help people know when they may have an exposure with that Wisconsin Exposure Notification app, and to help people get tested at home or at a community testing site or at their provider, whatever works best for them.
How are we doing with contact tracing, Tracy?
I think, you know, we're doing a great job. We're working, we have a great team of contact tracers at DHS, and we're working in partnership with those local and tribal health health departments who are doing contact tracing and case investigation and really working to reach contacts around the state.
Do we have enough contact tracers?
I think, you know, at this point, we have a good amount of contact tracers in the state, and we're working hard to reach all those contacts. It's also really helpful if cases can help to notify their contacts as well, right? And that's part of the benefit of that exposure notification app.
The Wisconsin Exposure Notification app, now available for free. The at-home COVID-19 test, for which you will not be charged, now available through the Department of Health Services website, dhs.wi.gov. Tracy DeSalvo, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Lee.
Up next is news and a story from Wisconsin Life. Then we'll discuss Governor Evers' State of the State address delivered virtually last night. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.